This is the Riches from the Pages radio broadcast with Evangelist Adam Borden, brought to you by Wahoo Baptist Church in Murrayville, Georgia. We invite you to join us for this time of mining the unsearchable riches of God's Word. And now, Evangelist Adam Borden.
There's biblical basis for that. And that's what I want to preach about this morning, the biblical basis of our life, the biblical basis of our church, the biblical basis of our families, the biblical basis of how we live our lives day in and day out and from now through eternity. So I want to take these two verses and use them as a springboard as we look at having Bible for everything in our life. If you're there in verse number 3, 1 Corinthians 15, say amen. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, notice these words, according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Thus saith the Lord, according to the Scriptures. Right. According to the Scriptures. Notice this, it's powerful in its creation, it's powerful in its inspiration, it's powerful in its duration, it's powerful in its interpretation. But I want you to notice this, most powerful of all, it's powerful in its personification. Look over and turn over to 1 John chapter 5, verse 7. Look at these words. 1 John chapter 5, verse 7. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. That's the Godhead of the Trinity. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Now you said, Brother Adam, it didn't say Son. It said Word. That's right, because the Son is the Word. He said these three, young ladies, are one. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Holy Ghost is God. Son is God. Father is God. All God, all the time, in all power, distinct, and their designated operations. God has always had a voice on earth with mankind. He spoke with Adam in the Garden of Eden face to face. He spoke with Moses in person. He spoke to Abraham with an audible voice. When Jesus came to the earth and he spoke unto men as I'm speaking to you. And when he left in John 14, 26, he said, I'll send you another comforter. Listen to me. God's voice in this time is the Holy Ghost, and he's God as much as Jesus is and as much as the Father is. It's powerful. The Word of God is powerful in its personification. He said the Father, the Word, and the Spirit. Now, let's look at the Father first of all. Now, the Father, he's distinct and he's powerful in his authority. He's distinct in his authority. All through Jesus' earthly ministry, he pointed unto the Father. He said, these are the words that my Father, this is the will of my Father. I do what my Father says. I can have no power without the Father. He always pointed to the Father and the authority of the Father. The Father has authority. In Matthew 28, 18, Jesus came and spake to them saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. If he had to be given power, it had to be given by somebody, and that was the Father. In those accounts of the transfiguration of Jesus in Matthew chapter 17, for instance, Jesus takes three of his disciples and he goes off into a desert place, and there he is transformed and given his glorified body, and he goes up into the atmosphere a little ways and meets with Moses and Elijah and says, hey boys, how y'all doing? It's good to see you again. Amen. How's everything back home? And those disciples are sitting there, and they want to build three temples right there. This is a great thing that we've seen this, that we're here. We need to build three temples, one for Jesus, one for Moses, one of Elijah. And God the Father said this out of heaven. In Matthew chapter 17, verse 5, he said, this is my beloved Son. Two times he said that from heaven in Jesus' earthly ministry. He said, this is my beloved Son, but he says something different. In whom I am well pleased, hear ye him. He's saying, I'm telling you, I'm the Father, and you listen to what he says. He's powerful in the word of his authority. You know what trumps everything? When I was these boys' age over here, somebody tell me I couldn't do something. My sister told me I couldn't do something. This trumped it all. No need for debate, no other fight, no other. Daddy said so. Daddy said so. Well, mama said that. Daddy said so. You know why 85% of the male incarcerated prisoners in this country are in jail, 85% of them? They grew up in a home without a father. Statistical truth, 85% of the incarcerated males in prisons and jails today in the United States of America, 85% grew up without a daddy. No male authority figure. I love you. I love you, ladies. I appreciate a single mom. My heart breaks and I cheer on a single mom who's trying to do the right thing. But God designated a home with a godly daddy and a godly mama and children to fall underneath that authority. If that daddy's not the authority in that home, that's a broken home in the future. Amen. My daddy said, you know what my daddy said to me? He said, he told me that I'm more than a conqueror. That's what my daddy said. My daddy said, I'll provide all your needs according to my riches and glory. Yep. Hey, listen, young people. Don't let the devil tell you that you can't do anything for God because you're not 20 years old yet and out of college and married. The authority of the Father in the Scripture gives us power. When the devil says you can't, but God says you can, you just tell the devil, say, my daddy said so. When the devil says you're no good, but God shows you your worth in his word that he gave his only begotten son for you, you tell the devil, my daddy said so. When temptation comes and you say, I can't do this, I can't withstand it, I'm a weak human, he says, there's a way of escape. You just tell the devil, you tell your own flesh, my daddy said so. I can withstand. I can overcome. I can escape. Because of the authority, the power of the authority that the Father gives the Word. Now let's look at the Spirit. Here in 1 John 5, we're talking about the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. The Spirit gives power to the Word because of His authorship. His authorship. We read that verse a while ago where all Scripture is given by inspiration of the Holy Ghost. You remember that one back there just a little ways? All Scripture. That means all of it. Start to finish. You realize the Bible was written over a 1,400-year span on three different continents by over 40 writers. How's that happen and become one cohesive thing that makes perfect sense in and all of itself from start to beginning? How's that happen? Let's just say in the year 600, somebody started writing a book, and they wrote five chapters. And then several hundred years later, here comes by somebody else, and they wrote so many books. And here's another one that wrote another book 400 years after that. And then 300 years after that, they wrote. And then for 1,400 years. And all of it makes sense. And all of it be connected. And all of it. How did that happen? Because it wasn't the men coming up with it. It says this, for the prophecy came not in old times by the will of man. But holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Men were moved. I tend to go this way with it. I believe that when Ezekiel sat down and started writing what he wrote and didn't understand what all he was writing, how can this be? When Daniel started writing all those things down and he sat down and looked at it and said, what does that mean? Why? Because it says right there, they were moved by the Holy Spirit. They were moved by the Holy Ghost. The Spirit of God authored this book. He's got power. The Spirit's got power in this word by its agreement. Its agreement. Now, I'm going to lose a few of you right here. 1 John 5:6 says, and it is the Spirit that beareth witness because the Spirit is truth. What do we say back there in Psalms and Proverbs? It said, thy word is true. It is truth. And it said right there in 1 John that the Spirit is truth. Well, if the word is truth and the Spirit is truth, and that is truth that agrees, I'll just cut to the chase. The Spirit of God will never lead you to do something that's contrary to the word of God. Let me say that again. The Holy Ghost of God, which is God, remember that? The Holy Spirit of God is God, will never tell you to do something that goes contrary to the truth that is written in the Scriptures. The will of God will never go against the Word of God. I remember several years ago, I was traveling as a musician, and we were down in Hamilton, Mississippi, at a high school gymnasium. We was playing with a group back then, and there was a guy there, there was another group there. guy had been around singing for a lot of years and saw him there, and there was a lady with him. There was a lady. He was probably in his 30s at that time. And I noticed, I told one of my buddies there, a fellow I worked with, I said, "That don't look like his wife." He said, "No, it don't." So we watched a little while. Sure enough, they went and sat together, holding hands, all that kind of stuff, talking and gooing and hooing and all. I said, "That is not his wife." But they both had on rings. So my buddy asked him, he's back getting ready to sing, and he's back in the dressing room back there. And I said, "Hey, buddy, who's that lady you're with?" He said, "Oh, that's my wife." And we both looked at him. He said, "I know what," he said, let me tell you what happened. Let me tell you what God did. This is what he said. He blamed this on God. He tacked this on God. He put this to God's account. He said, "My wife, my other wife, my first, second, third wife, whatever it was, she didn't support me singing. She didn't support me singing, going and being traveling, singing. And I met this lady here, and she really did support my singing. We prayed about it, and we thought it was the will of God that I divorce my wife and marry her." And we just stood there and went, "All right, we got to go. I don't want to be anywhere near somebody that says something as foolish as that, that God led me to do something that God says he hates." Let's be very clear. Divorce has touched all our families. It's sad. It's hurtful. It's pitiful. And I would never say anything like this. If a woman's getting beat up, hey, if it's a bad situation like that, I'm not going to tell you that it's not sometimes the necessary protection of men, of women and boys and girls. God allows it in his permissive will, but he still hates it. He allows it. He'll help and heal. He'll forgive. But God has not one time ever, according to the scriptures. The scribes went to Jesus and they tried to trip him up. He said, "Moses gave us," right? And this is just one thing. I'm going to touch some other things too. So all you divorce sensitive people, don't worry about it. I got it in my family too. The scribes came to him and said, "Moses gave a writing for divorcement." And Jesus said, "He gave you a writing of divorcement because of the hardness of your hearts." That's what Jesus said about it. Now, homosexual people say this: "God made me this way." Mm-mm. The Bible says he created them man and woman, created he them. You're born a man, you're a man. You born a woman, you're a woman. And they misuse that verse, "Perfect love casts out all fear." You're just afraid of something you don't understand. No, I understand it real well. If you'll go back and read a little bit further, God destroyed whole zip codes because of that iniquity. So why would he destroy whole zip codes in Sodom and Gomorrah over that kind of immorality? And in 21st century America, say, "Well, because of the social environment now and our enlightenment and awareness, guys, I guess it's okay." He's not going back on his word. Hey, the authority of the scripture in its personification, the spirit will, I could say so much more about that. I could say so much more about that. People, how they misuse what the, and they say, I understand people get confused about scripture. I get confused about scripture. That's why I have to study it for hours and hours. That's why I love the King James Bible. I believe that's why God gave us the King James Bible 400 years ago, because he knew that we would need to study his word. In fact, he tells us, "Study to show thyself approved, a workman that needeth not be ashamed." Yeah. What's the number one reason that people say they don't read the King James Bible? "Don't understand it. Too hard to read." It's on a second grade reading level. It's on a second grade reading level. One of two things. Let me just say there's one thing. If you're saying that you can't understand it, one of two things. You're either not saved or you're calling God a liar. And let me explain what the scripture says about that. I got Bible. Here's what I'm saying. I got Bible to back this up. John chapter 14, verse 26, he said, "I'll send another comforter who will teach you all things." He will teach you all things and bring whatsoever I've said unto your remembrance. The Holy Spirit, God, will teach you what this word says. I just don't understand it. Well, one of two things. Either you don't have the Holy Ghost inside teaching you, or you're saying God's word is a lie.
Our prayer is that the word of God has done a work in you today. For more information on the ministry of Evangelist Adam Borden, go to evangelistadamborden.com, spelled B-O-R-D-E-N, and click on the contact page, or you can call 615-785-5682. Join us next time as we find riches from the pages of God's Word. with Evangelist Adam Borden.